blessing our heart. To hear what all God's doing here is such a blessing. Such a great encouragement. But this song, we're singing it earlier. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not. See, it wasn't personal. Knowing not it was for me, he died. By God's word, thank God for preaching. Amen. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. By God's word, at last, my sin. See, the psalmist said, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. A man's got to get honest, he's very going to get saved. By God's word, at last, my sin I learned. And I like the conviction in this. Brother, you ain't going to get converted unless you get convicted. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. Amen. They that behold need not a physician. But if you know you're lost tonight, you're in a good place. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. By God's word, at last, my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. He said, I trembled at the law I'd spurned till my guilty soul imploring turned. Sound like repentance to me. Now I give given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Woo! Hallelujah! Well, glory! Praise God. Now my raptured soul can only say. I tell you, the cross don't mean something tonight to us. We're missing out. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. And this is what I really wanted to get to on this song and then try to get into our text tonight. Verse number 4. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. There's an explanation point behind that. And I was taught in English, you're supposed to put a lot of emphasis right there. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Exclamation point. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace, and grace was free. It's a gift. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Now, there's a pretty good bit of excitement in here, but I want to say that don't ever lose the joy of being saved. If you ever lose the O in your salvation, you're in trouble. Amen. Don't ever lose that. Don't fool around and get cold and indifferent. Don't let something come into your life that rivals Christ for your affections and your attention. Amen. Well, I say it's good to be here tonight. And you talking about a blessing, praise God. Hebrews chapter number 11, if you'll turn over there with us, please, just for a moment. Hebrews chapter number 11. And I want to read a few verses to you, then we'll have a word of prayer, then we'll go back over to the book of Joshua in chapter number 6. Amen. I used to preach up in this country years ago, and I'm glad to be back. Amen. Hey. Praise God. It's good to be up here.
Yes, sir.
And if you're saved by the grace of God, you're my brother and my sister. Say, I don't know you. Well, you praise God, we know the same Savior.
Right.
Amen. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we praise God for that. Amen. If you're saved, you're my brother or sister, and I bless the Lord. I didn't get saved. I was 25. And can I testify just for a second?
Yeah, you mind God.
I'll get you just a seat, and I'll try not to testify too long. I've been to church a handful. I've been to church twice by the time I was 19. And I try to never glory. I never, even the older I get, the more or less I want to say about the background where I come from.
Right.
I think concerning evil, we ought to be simple.
Yes, sir.
You don't need to be interested in sin.
Right.
There's a pile of young people tonight, and I tell you, you'll never have to worry about becoming a drunk if you just stay away from the liquor. Amen.
Yeah.
If you'll stay away from pills and dope and pot and marijuana, you'll never have to worry about being a druggie.
Yes.
Amen.
There's
nothing in that. I preached the other day on some things that ain't going to change in 26, and I'm going to tell you something that ain't going to change. That's sin.
Right.
It still has sorrow and brings suffering.
That's right.
But I'd been to church about twice by the time I was 19, got to go on my wife a little bit when I was got a little bit older in my early 20s. And God dealt with me one night about salvation, and I rejected him that night, and I could have got saved. Got under conviction. I'd been there probably half a dozen times. God dealt with me, brought me under conviction. I raised my hand that night for prayer. I wanted the church to pray for me. I had enough sin. I was an idiot. You ain't got to say amen right there, but believe me, I was an idiot. Amen. And I mean, just sad life. I worked in the foundry. I was an iron pourer in Chattanooga. And but still just lived in a bad way, but I had enough sense that I wanted the church to pray for me. There's no doubt about it. I wanted them to pray for me. I wanted that man of God that preached to me at night to pray for me. So I raised my hand, but I remember that night vividly when God was working on my heart to be saved. There was some things that stood out to me that I really wasn't willing to quit. I just was not willing to turn away from them. But I didn't want to go to hell either.
Right.
Now what I wanted was some fire insurance.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to die. I didn't want to die lost, but I didn't want to quit what I was doing either.
Right, preacher.
For the next few years, I continued on down that path. Preacher met me at the back door, talked with me. Let me go ahead and just tell you a little bit more of it. I don't want to spin my wheels right here. But he met me at the back door, said, Can I help you? I said, well, you can pray for me. I said, just pray for me. I need prayer. That I know. And so I went on, and me and Wendy, we was talking after service that night, and she said, Andy, it's obvious that God's dealing with you about salvation. She said, you ought to ask him to just save you.
Yeah.
And she was right. God was dealing with me.
Yeah.
But what she didn't know, there was some things I was hanging on to.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to tell you I got saved that night because I didn't. But I bowed my head and I prayed and wept and cried. I mean, I'm needing napkins to wipe off my face and clean up and everything else. And if you'd have been there, you'd have probably said, well, did you call on God? I'd have said, yeah. Well, did you call out for Christ for forgiveness? I'd have said, yeah. Well, you'd have probably looked at me, pat me on the back, said, well, you're all right.
Go ahead, preacher.
But I wasn't all right.
Go ahead.
I was lost.
Yep.
On the way to hell.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Help.
Yeah.
About 4 years later, I was sitting fishing. Loved to bass fish. And I was fishing, went off by myself one day, was sitting in the boat fishing. The Holy Ghost come by where I was at.
Thank God, yeah.
Amen. Boy, thank God.
He said, you're going to go straight to hell if you don't get saved. That's all I heard. I knew. He said, audible voice. Oh, no. No, I'm like one preacher. It's way louder than that.
Right.
Amen.
Yes,
it's all the same. I knew it. I mean, I got the hint.
Yeah.
Tore me up like coleslaw. Is anybody out there?
Boy, yeah.
Amen. Didn't get saved. I could have. Preacher, if I'd have had any sense, I could have got saved right then. A few months later, I staggered back into that same church. And I said, if I ever get saved, I'm going to get saved on one of them Wednesday nights when there's about 20 or 30 there. You know how that goes.
Right.
And I thank God this is a wonderful crowd. I mean, I'm thrilled to death to be here. I'll be honest with you. It's a blessing. It's refreshing to come into a church and see people that want God. Hunger and thirst for him. And I'm telling you, if you get hungry and thirsty, God said, I'll fill you. Hallelujah. Bless his name. And I walked in that church on a Sunday morning, 180 people sitting there in chairs lined around the walls. God passed back by. Said, you lost. You lost. And the preacher stood and he said, ask yourself what's worth going to hell, Lord. And I did. I said, man. And it was those same sins that really come to the forefront that night when I was 20. My wife looked over at me and she said, what is wrong with you? She She had never seen me in that condition, in that shape. I mean, I was in bad shape, right?
No.
I was in bad shape, crippled under conviction, just crippled. And the next thing she said, well, do you want to go? After she said, what's wrong with you? I don't even know if I answered her. I don't remember. But she said, do you want to go pray? I was gone. Are you listening to me? And God said, I said, I don't want that. No, I don't want that life no more. I want a new life.
Praise God.
Well, glory. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. These last some odd years, we've tried our best not to lose the O of that salvation that God so graciously granted to us. I want it to be fresh in my heart. I want to love him more tomorrow than I do today. I love him more than when I first met him. You say, oh, ain't no way. I know more about him. The closer I, the longer me and my wife's together, the more I love her.
That's right. Yes, sir.
We're in a relationship.
Yes.
I'm not living off what somebody else is telling me. I'm living off, praise God, what God's done in my life. Hey, it's real and it's personal. Thank God you can be saved tonight. By the good grace of God, you can be born again. And it's real. On the outside, trying to look in. On the outside, trying to figure out why everybody else is so excited. On the outside, trying to say, man, that crowd sure is stirred up. Hey, I'm telling you something, friend, tonight. If you get born again by the grace of God, God will stir you up inside. God will stir you up inside. I thank God for what he's done in my heart. I thank God for what he's done in my life. Bless his name. Hebrews chapter number 11. If you'll stand with us just for a moment. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused. And I submit to you tonight, if they some things, the children of God, we shouldn't say yes to.
Right.
If you're going to do right and get God's touch on your life, there's a lot of things you're going to have to refuse.
Right.
A lot of things. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord.
Right.
John said, love not the world, neither things are in the world. If any man loves the world, love the Father's not in him.
Right.
There's things you got to turn your back on. Moses refused. Hey, I'm telling you something. Joseph didn't have a great cloud of witnesses around him, but when Potiphar's wife throwed herself at him, he refused.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. This was a choice he made.
Yeah.
And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Yes, sir.
Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect and the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drown. Verse number 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And included in that great miracle that God done, that great act, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated. Let's bow our hearts and heads prayer. I ask you to pray with us. And please do pray for us tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this privilege to be here tonight. God, I pray, Lord, you'd help me not outrun you. God, I pray you'd help me to wait on you. I pray, God, you'd speak to me and through me, Lord, and help me, God, be a help and blessing.
Dear God, of this good congregation of people, God, I pray you touch our mind. I pray you touch our thoughts. When we have clarity of mind, clearness of speech, God, I pray you loose these stammering lips and the stuttering tongue. And fill us, God, with the Holy Ghost. God, Lord, if you don't touch me tonight, God, there'll be nothing done. There'll be nothing accomplished. But God, I just pray that you would indeed stay your hand upon us. Help us, God. I pray you go before us. I pray, God, that you minister to every heart. Pray, God, you draw the sinner to repentance and strengthen that one, Lord, that may be here discouraged and disheartened. I pray, God, that one that's got a wall in their life, I pray, God, that you'd minister to them and help them. Give them a word in season tonight. God will not fail to thank you for what's done. Again, Lord, thank you for this good pastor, this good place. Thank you, dear God, for your spirit. God, that we feel in our heart and down in our soul. Dear God, the liberty, God, that's here. We just praise you for it tonight. Have your way, I pray. Again, God, we ask you to go in front of us and help us this evening. In Jesus' precious and blessed name we pray, for thy glory and thine honor's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we find here in Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible said in verse number 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And when I look at Hebrews chapter 11, let me just say this, and I'll move on and go over to Joshua chapter number 6. I realize they call Hebrews chapter number 11 the hall of faith, but there's one thing beyond a shadow of a doubt. We see how their faith was accompanied by actions. And James tells us faith without works is dead, being alone. And Paul wrote to Titus and he told him, he said, be careful to maintain good works because they're good and profitable unto men. Then Jesus there on the Sermon on the Mount in the 5th chapter said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. Oh no, glorify the Baptist. Oh no, but glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I tell you, tonight you ought to let your light shine. And you don't have to make your light shine if you'll just be what you're supposed to be, born in the family of God, allowing that new nature to have its way, and submitting to the will of God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to live His life through, in you, and through you, then your light will shine. It's going to shine. And it's going to shine bright, because this world's dark. And I tell you, friend, the darker you go, the less light you need to see. And you can shine a great light and point people towards Calvary. So we find that their works, their faith was accompanied by works. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 8, I felt like I ought to quote it. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So I want to stay balanced tonight. I'm not saved by works. But I tell you, thank God, a real faith has works. A real faith will work. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Hey, it don't matter if he's simple or wise. It don't matter if he's churched or unchurched. It don't matter if he's a Bible scholar or a novice. If he is in Christ, thank God, he is a new creature. Bless the Lord. Bless his good name. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But he didn't stop there. For we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What kind? The kind that God's ordained that we should walk in them. That's the kind. God's going to change your life. Friend, God ain't going to leave you like you found you. Amen. Praise God. Amen. He ain't going to leave you in the ditch where he found you. Thank God. He's going to clean you up. Amen. Praise God. He's going to set you on his beast. Hey, friend, it's like that picture of that man that fell among thieves. And thank God one day he passed by and he poured oil down in my wound. And he put me on his beast. And he carried me down to the end. I said, thank God tonight for the change that Jesus makes. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if you're glad about it, but I know I'm glad about it. I'm thrilled to death about it. Amen. I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. Amen. And I ain't happy about what I am. But thank God one day when he appears, I shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself. Praise God. God's going to lead you to live right. God's going to lead you to live right. But they had these walls, this wall experience, and we know they've come through the land of the wilderness, and here they have. They've done crossed over Jordan, and Jordan identifies us with the Lord Jesus Christ and symbolism and typology and his death and his burial and his resurrection. I say, thank God I got out of the graveyard.
All right. Yes.
Amen. But I'm going to say this tonight. Now listen, they're headed to the they're headed into Canaan's land. And the songwriter had it right. He wasn't wrong, or she, I don't know if it was man or woman that wrote it. They said, I'm living in Canaan now. Egypt behind, thank God. I'm glad it's behind me. Amen. Crossed over Jordan wide. Gladness to find. My soul is satisfied. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. And he satisfieth the longing soul, according to the psalmist in Psalm 107. I ain't so much liberty up here. I say hallelujah to God. Bless his good name. Amen. I ain't trying to quote a verse just because I could have memorized a couple. I'm telling you, thank God for the realness of God. Thank God for his salvation. Thank God he is wanting us to live, not only have life, but have it more abundantly. And we're looking at this book tonight, and we can see, though you have crossed over Jordan, though you've come up out of the wilderness, though you've been brought out by the blood of the Lamb, hey, friend, there's ground to conquer, but you're going to have obstacles in your way. You're going to have obstacles in your way. And not all of them small obstacles. It's a pretty tall order in front of them. And so here they are now. They've come up to Jericho. And the Bible tells us in verse number 1 that it was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel, that none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before thee, before the ark, 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And you'll find that the ark is mentioned no less than 10 times in this chapter.
That's right.
And I tell you, we're not going to get far without God. That ark represents the presence of God.
Yes,
brother, if many of you is going to get anything done, we've got to have him. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. That don't mean you can do a little bit. That don't mean you can do about 10% or 20% or 15%. I'm telling you, zero, nothing is naught. Amen. That's zero. You ain't going to get nothing done without him. But brother, if we can get him on this thing, if we can get out of the way and let him lead our life, if we can get in the background and let him be the shepherd that he desires to be. I mean, even he said it himself, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Peter over in Acts 10, Peter said, not so, Lord. You cannot run that you cannot run that together. You can't say not so, then say Lord. It does not work. So we have the ark. And their faith is threatened here in chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Their faith is threatened. There's walls in front of them. There's an obstacle there that's got to be dealt with. And I want to say, can I just say this? I really wanted to save it to the end of the message. But can I tell you tonight, God didn't bring you out to drop you off. And God didn't bring you out to, amen, not bring you in. Amen. You say, I've got it hard tonight. Amen. Hang on, dear child of God. You just hang in there, friend. You just wait a little longer, friend. And God, somewhere, God will help you. God will give you strength. I'm telling you, God will show up and help you with your need tonight. This could be the night. This could be the hour. He said, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know what you're going through. But thank God we've got a mediator. Thank God we've got a high priest. Thank God we've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And I'm telling you tonight, he knows what we're going through. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. His faith is threatened. And but they have the ark there in the presence of God. And their faith's going to be tested. Verse number 4. The 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Faith is tested. And it shall come to pass when they shall make a long blast with the ram's horns. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Their faith is threatened. Their faith is tested in these verses. But I want to say their faith is tempered. Now, if you're talking about faith this evening, the Bible tells us what faith is in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like what one writer said. I like this definition. He said, faith can be difficult to define, but confidence and reliance upon God Almighty is of its essence. So sometimes you may have a hard time defining what faith is or maybe getting a grip on faith. But I'll tell you in a nutshell what it is. I just be honest, I don't know that Proverbs 3:5 is that far off. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. And then he said, you better not be wise in your own eyes. I'm telling you, friend, there's a danger tonight. There's a danger in me and you trying to work all this out. There's a danger in us trying to figure it out. When me and you don't see the whole picture. Job never knew why he is going through what he is going through. Hey, and me and you may never find out this side of eternity why we've went through what we've went.
Yeah.
And been put through. But God knows.
Thank God.
And I'm going to tell you something this evening. He's trying to conform you to the image of his dear son.
Right, that's right.
We're not sailing on a good ship lollipop. This is the battleship Zion.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Roloff used to try to remind us this. Hey, it's not a recreation room. It's a battlefield. Amen. I didn't know when I got signed. Amen. Signed. I didn't know when I got saved by the grace of God. I was entering into a war zone, but I did. I tell you, Christianity is at odds with the spirit of this world. Christianity is at odds tonight with the age and the spirit of the age. But thank God we're on the winning side.
Yeah.
There's no question we're on the winning side.
Yes, sir.
Brings me back to this point. He didn't save you to drop you off. He didn't bring you out not to bring you in.
Right.
And I'm telling you, he didn't just want to give you life. He wants to give you abundant life. And if God said, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you,
yeah.
Far as I know, he means it.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's still in there. It's still in the book. And when I get up tomorrow, it'll still be in there. And when I get up next week, thank God it'll still be in there. Amen. News changes by the moment, by the second. There's new flashpoints. There's new this, new that, new all the new. But thank God for this faithful old book. Amen. It's already settled in heaven. And there's not a jot or a tittle of it going to pass away. Hey, I said, praise God, I've got something I can trust in there. And you know what Joshua's trusting? He's trusting the word of the Lord.
That's right.
For those walls to come down. And I want to say this tonight. Here we find the ark is in the center of this thing. I said a moment ago, it's mentioned at least 10 times. And let me move on. Verse number 5, and it shall come to pass when they shall make a long blast of the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And if you'll read on later in this chapter, it happened just like God said it would.
Amen.
You know when God said, let's go over to Genesis chapter 1. I want to take you over to Genesis chapter 1 just for a moment. I hope and pray this will be a blessing to you. I didn't mark it or nothing, but I think it's worth reading. Genesis chapter 1. I'm not going to try to preach to you 2 hours. I'll do my best. Amen. One preacher said years ago, he said, when you feed the cows, you just give them enough what they can handle. You don't empty the whole barn of hay on them. Amen. I don't want to dump too much on you tonight. Amen. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be light, and guess what?
There's light.
God said, verse 6, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. What's verse 7? And God made the firmament.
Yeah.
And divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Now this is right here is where it gets real good. And it was so.
Yeah.
Verse number 9, and God said, let the waters on the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. Guess what verse 9 finishes with?
Yep.
Is anybody picking up what I'm laying down? Yeah. Yeah, everything God has promised, brother.
Yes, sir.
We ain't careful. We got walls in front of us, and we're trying to scale them ourselves. If we ain't careful, we've got walls in front of us, and we just set up right there and never move no further. And get intimidated by it and just won't move and won't budge. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the earth yielding seed and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. What's it say? It was so. You do understand everything God wants to bring pass, he's going to bring it pass, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Yeah. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And guess what?
Yep.
It was so. Looks to me like God's pretty good at keeping his promises. What do you think?
Yes, bro.
Looks to me like God's pretty good at holding his word forth. Hallelujah. Looks to me like God's able to do what he wants to do.
Oh, yes.
And our Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able. See, that's the thing. He has the ability. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I say hallelujah to God's good name. He is able. What did he say in Jeremiah 33:3? Call unto me. God's already given me and you a standing invitation. God's already rolled the carpet out in front of us. I tell you, this precious soul's come to pray. Hey, probably somebody else ought to come pray. Probably somebody else with a heavy heart. Saying, preacher, you just don't know the walls that's in front of me. But I'm glad, thank God, God knows where they're at. Hey, and hey, they didn't bring themselves to this place. It was God that led them down the wall to Jericho. They went to the walls of Jericho. They didn't find obstacles because they didn't know. They found obstacles in their life when they was going right. Sometimes we ain't careful. We let the devil try to convince us, man, the reason I'm having trouble because I've done something wrong. Quit listening to the adversary. Quit listening to the devil.
Right.
But they run into obstacles when they was doing right.
Yep.
This issue that's in there was standing between them and going on further when they was doing what God commanded them to do.
That's right.
Yes, somebody said, man, I thought when you got saved, if you serve God, everything's going to be easy. No, it's not always going to be easy.
Oh, no.
Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Preacher, I got to think about all the walls I've run into since I've been saved.
Yeah.
I try my best not to testify. I had a man rake me over the coal years ago about testifying.
You mind the Lord, preacher.
And I'm telling you, I praise God, if the Lord wants us to preach this book, we'll preach this book.
Yep, go ahead.
But I know what it's like to have a wife on life support. God dealt with me about preaching on this tonight. I know what it's like to look at your wife and them tell you if something don't change, she ain't going to make it.
Go ahead, preacher.
I know what that's like. I sat in there for days at the hospital.
Go ahead.
You ain't got to tell me about what hard times are.
Right.
I know what it's like to tell them we can't hear the baby's heartbeat no more.
Go ahead.
I guarantee you one thing. Every wall we've ever run up on, every wall that we've ever been brought up against, thank God God's helped us with it.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that. Preach on that because she's sitting over there. I tell you, I watched God raise her up. I watched God walk her out of the hospital. I've seen God touch her and keep his hand on her. I've seen God bring her through sepsis. I've seen God bring her through cancer. I'm telling you, I've watched God keep his hand on my family's life.
Yes.
What a blessing.
Praise God.
Amen.
Yep.
God ain't going to desert you.
Amen.
God's not going to desert you.
Well, that's good,
I said God ain't going to desert
that's
you.
Right.
God's not going
going to let you off. He didn't stop the bus and tell you to get off. Thank God you're on the bus. Hallelujah. We're headed all the way to glory.
God. He ain't going to exempt you from troubles and trials, though. Amen. Preacher, it's the truth.
Go ahead.
I sat there in the hospital. My wife, she went in on Wednesday. Kidney stones. She just used to be a factory for them, made them one after another. And they kept floating around, busting them, and doing this and that. And she got obsessive over all of it. She told me that Wednesday, she said, there's something bad, I'm dying. Yeah. She said, I'm telling you, I'm dying. Yeah. And I thought, well, she's probably hurting, you know, and my wife's tough as nails, I'll just tell you. She's, amen. And I should have known better, but she knew her body was shutting down, and she knew. And she was shivering so bad. I'm talking about shivering.
God.
I mean, it looked like she was going to shake plumb out of the bed. Are you listening to me?
Yeah,
that was Wednesday. We headed over to Chattanooga. They put her in the hospital. And, I sat there with her and all them little kids at the house. So we didn't have no kids for 9 years. God never seen fit to open my wife's womb. I was in my mid-30s. Now everybody sees us at the store and they say, well, them's some pretty grandkids you got. It's my kids.
Praise God!
Praise God! Hallelujah!
It's my kids. And we didn't have no kids for a long time. So I got 4 kids back at the house. My wife has a heart attack Friday night. They put her on life support. She goes blind for a spell. The next days was nothing but a nightmare.
Oh, brother.
It just nothing but a nightmare.
Sure, imagine, brother.
And her heart rate would run up to like 170, 180. You've probably seen it. You've been in the field. And run up to 170, 180. And when it would do that, her blood pressure would fall off to about 80 over 40. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not trying to build up something, okay?
Right.
I ain't one of these preachers has to lie to tease.
Go ahead.
Or tell somebody else's story. I'm telling you, when I sit there and watch in that hospital room, that continued on. He come around the next following week. It's probably about Monday. That's Tuesday. So her brothers come in. They said, boy, you look like death warmed over. You got to get out of here. They said, you got to go to the house. You need to go get cleaned up and get out of here. You go get out of here. Go see the kids. Go do something. And I went home and I got ready. I said, well, I'm going to get the church mail. And I went got the church mail. And I went back to the church where I pastored. And I sat at my desk and cut that mail open. Began to read it and sat at my desk. Praying, talking, Lord. And you don't have to believe this. It really don't matter. I'll go back to Grundy County tonight rejoicing.
Go ahead.
Amen.
But as clear as a bell, God said, you don't quit being what you're called to be because you got a having a hard time, plain as day. But don't think that's a cold answer.
Right.
Because when it's the captain of your salvation.
Yes, brother.
It's the right one.
Calling you on.
Yep.
It's about impossible not to just follow him wherever he leads you.
Yeah.
When you know it's his voice. When you know it's your chance.
Hey, baby. Boy, that's right.
Well, he said, you don't quit being what I've called you to be just because you're having a hard time. I'm telling you, friend, God put something down in my soul that money can't buy.
Hey,
the world can't give.
Amen.
I sat that desk and wept, and I said, yeah, you're right, man. You called me to preach. You've called me to pastor.
Yeah.
You're right. And I went back to the hospital, and when I accepted that, God never did. Preacher, tell me that my wife was going to come out of it. He never did. But I accepted whatever that morning.
Amen.
I said, you're right, Lord. I've done the best I could. And I'm not telling you I've got a halo big as a car hood.
Go ahead, preacher.
That's good, preacher.
I'm not super spiritual.
Right.
But I accepted. I said, Lord, you're right.
Yeah.
And when I accepted it, I went back in that hospital and that doctor pulled me aside. And he said, if something don't happen, she ain't gonna make it. She ain't gonna make it. I said, what do we need to do? He talked to me for a minute. And when he told me, he made one statement to me. And when he did, for just condense it and shorten it up, I followed through with what he told me. And I said, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do. This is what I want you to do for my wife. On her, on that bag over there in the hospital, on that tree, you know they call it a tree.
Yes.
It's 15 bags hanging on her tree. I've done a lot of visiting in the hospital in my life. I've never seen nothing beat that. 15 bags. Because when her blood pressure, when her heart rate wouldn't run at 170 and her blood pressure going to 80 to 40, then the blood pressure was 220 over about 140. And the heart rate would run down to about in the 40s and 30s. They woke me up Sunday morning, is in the 30s. I'm talking about 10 white coats standing there. And they's getting ready to bring paddles in on it and do what all they have to do. It's tough. It's a tough road, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And I told that doctor, I said, this is what we're going to do. He said, you agree? It's what you want me to do? I said, this is exactly what I want you to do. And when they done it, by Thursday, my wife started waking up. By Friday, they're talking about getting her off the bed like,
yeah.
Yes. My next Wednesday, she's going home.
Yeah!
Woo!
Yes!
Thank God!
God!
That's him.
God raised her up.
Right.
But I gotta add this. I really want to preach through this chapter, but listen to me. The church got together that I pastor. And they said we're going to meet every night till God walks her out of there. We'll pray every night till God brings Sister Wendy home. And they did. And God did.
Amen.
If you ain't careful, you'll run up on a wall and you just stop walking. They had to walk every day. And you know what I know? They go to bed at night. They're probably looking off up through yonder. River's behind them. Jordan's behind them. There's Jericho. They get ready to peel their heads. Before they go to bed, probably some daddy walked out there and looked and said, man, my boy's still out there. Some mama sitting there with tears said, man, my daughter still ain't got in. And you'll have to get up tomorrow and walk around that wall again.
Yep.
And then you'll do it again.
Right, preacher.
Preacher, I may be wrong, and I stay. You can correct it either tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, whatever. I don't know that everybody knew what was going to go on that last day right off the bat. Joshua knew.
Yep. Amen.
We had a problem come up at Mount Zion. Two families got into it. Hey, if you're into it, somebody here tonight, you ought to ask God to forgive you first and foremost.
Right.
And you ought to make it right between you and them.
Right. Yeah.
You're going to stall this thing out. Boy, if God quits moving,
you're right.
You don't want to be the cause of it.
Right. Oh, yes, preacher.
These kids get out here playing. The preacher ain't told me nothing. But kids get out here playing, and one of them hits the other one too hard. And all the mama bears show up on the playground.
Uh-oh.
Well, if you'll just leave it alone, it'll work itself out. More
yeah.
Amen. Yeah. We probably ain't going to shout right here, but it's the truth.
It's right.
I've done pastor too long.
Yeah, preacher.
Yeah.
You'll just leave it alone, it'll probably be all right.
Right.
And they don't need to be trying to date each other when they're 10 years old.
Amen. Right.
Then, hey! Yes. Just leave that alone.
Yeah.
I mean, just absolutely. Well, how do you do, boyfriend? Just leave that alone.
Say,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Yes,
sir.
Yes, sir.
They don't need to run around giving parts of their heart to everybody.
Amen.
They ain't got a clue.
I love it.
Right.
I didn't come up here to man lock him up here to
preach. That's right.
You're in the right place.
We had two families got into it, preacher. It's killing me.
Yeah.
I love both of them.
Right.
I went to both of them. Tried to get them together. Ain't going to happen. I talked to the older, one of them was young converts. I talked to the older couple. I said, listen, they're young converts, buddy.
Yeah.
Y'all got children. I said, your baby ever puked on you?
Go ahead.
I said, is that young and ever made things discomforted on you? I said, but you didn't throw them away.
Right.
I said, they're babes.
Right.
I said, they're going to puke on you every now and then.
That's good.
Right.
Tomorrow, say amen.
That's right.
They're going to be an inconvenience every now and then.
Yes, sir.
I don't mean that bad.
Yes, sir.
Don't. I need to clarify that. Get with me after the service.
I'll tell you what I mean.
They said, we ain't going to do it. We ain't going to do it. We're not, no. We're right. I said, is them quitting church worth you being right on? I said, they got three kids. You don't care about them three kids? You say you're saved and love God? If you love God,
preach.
Y'all love your neighbor.
Amen.
Well, they never made it right. They never did get it fixed. And I knew the family that was really guilty, the more so, I said, you know, if they don't get this right, they ain't never going to be right. You can sweep it on the rug. Do you dig that root of bitterness up? Brother, it's in there.
Right.
You might cut it off the top of the ground. It's worse than crab grass.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you need to get it out by the root.
Yeah.
You ain't going to get it out.
Right.
And all it's doing is rottening out the vessel that carries it.
It's
killing you.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't like it. Yep, it's killing you.
Right. Yeah. Preacher.
And you'll be just like King Saul before it's over with. You'll go from throwing javelins at David to throwing javelins at your own family.
Yeah.
You mark her down, I told you so.
Right.
Yeah. What about that,
you mark
preacher?
Her down.
Oh.
That thing never stays between you and the one you're mad at. So you're already crossed up with God to even be in that shape from the get-go.
Yes, sir.
If you wouldn't crossed up with God, you would be able to forgive him.
Yeah. Right.
You're already crossed up with him. Now
what
you can't forgive nobody. It's the highest between me and them. Now, it'll be between you and everybody else where it's over with.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That's real good, preacher.
That's real good.
I'm just telling you. And I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. I'm just telling you.
I know.
Yes, sir.
I prayed about that thing, preacher. I couldn't tell you how many times I prayed about that thing. You say, oh, Brother Andy's going to tell us they finally hugged necks and reconciled. I'm not going to be able to tell you that. They never did. But I will tell you this. I thought it was absolutely going to kill me. Kill me. I mean, the burden of it. Knowing, hey, this thing get in this church and blow it apart. Because the devil wants to get in here and ruin it. He absolutely, and I'm not here to brag on him, but he's good at what he does.
Sure.
And he wants to ruin you and everybody around you.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'd pray about it. I'd weep over it. I'd fast over it. I said, sure, I can, you know, miss some meals and God will do something. I'm sure God was trying to do something. I'm sure God didn't want to stay in that shape.
Right.
One Sunday morning, I walked in there, and the Lord said, I want you to come back to your study and pray. It was during Sunday school. I thought, and this is honest truth, brother, I got so weary and wore out. This is about 7 months down the road, or 8 months down the road. I was so weary of this. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to be transparent with you. I said, Lord, I've prayed about this so many times, and I've wept so many tears. And I'm not asking for sympathy. I said, I've wept over this. I've prayed. I've missed meals. I don't even know if this is you telling me to come back. But I said, well, maybe it is you. And, preacher, I went back there at my study. And the weight of that thing had stayed on me all them months and just wouldn't go away. And I went into my study. And as a boy, give me one of them little... kind of love seat. Two people sit beside each other on the
Yep.
And he'd give me one of them, and I I knelt down. And probably by the time my knee hit the carpet, God moved that thing.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God.
He gave me so much peace. I want you to hear me. He gave me so much peace that if the church had blown apart and everybody had quit and I'd be sitting there preaching to my wife and kids, I think I'd have been okay.
Yes, sir.
So what kind of peace is that? What's the kind of passes all on the street?
Right. Yes, sir.
Not that the world gives.
Hey, man.
Woo. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
In this world, you're going to have tribulation.
Yeah.
Just what he said he'd do. And it was so.
Hey.
Can I read you something else? I think it's probably it. Preacher, you maybe get your songwriters up here or whatever. Joshua 21. Verse 45. There failed not aught.
That's right. Amen.
Of any good thing which the Lord has spoken in the house of Israel.
Right.
Listen to this.
Oh. Hey.
That's all right.
That's right.
Not some.
Amen.
Thank God.
All. All came to pass.
Yes, sir.
He's a good God.
Amen.
And he ain't going to abandon you. I don't know what you're facing tonight. I don't know what you're going through, but he's not.